Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy landing. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every week.
670. Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's always fun to get a chance to talk to Stacey Dales, and she joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. And Stacey covered the Minnesota at Green Bay game. What a game that was. And what bad news for the Bears that they're in that division. Thank God they don't have to play in it very soon. Stacey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you guys. You know, you're right, Mully. It is a bruiser of a division, and I'm a little torn today because I'm actually flying to London for back-to-back weeks, and I didn't know if I wanted to do this with you guys from London or here. I think London is always better because we talk about tea. So,
oh yeah,
we can do that again. Tea and crumpets.
If a man definitely is bored of London, he's bored of life. Yeah. I've been told.
You can't be bored of London. I'll be there for 2 weeks, and I actually have the Vikings again this week. And, you know, I did see some progress from Chicago. I actually, you know, I had the Packers and Vikings on Sunday, as you alluded to, but went back, and I always like to go back and watch the game in order to talk about it. And mm-hmm. I saw a lot of progress from Caleb Williams. And, you know, if you're Bears fans, you have to be encouraged by, you know, two home victories this season, albeit the teams they faced.
Stacey, I want to get to all your Bears thoughts and insight, but I also want to get to one of the biggest stories in the league this morning because of your familiarity and relationship with Devontae Adams, former Packer, now Raider, on the trade block, requested a trade reportedly. The Jets might be interested. You wonder about the Chiefs getting involved. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers? What do you think of that situation, and where do you think he is headed?
You know, I'm not surprised. I have not seen a very content Devontae Adams. He is my favorite receiver that I've ever covered in the NFL. He is an absolute delight. It's going to be fascinating, David, where he lands. My initial thought was Kansas City Chiefs. Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes? Like, given all the injuries they have been decimated from their running backs to their receiver. I mean, Pacheco and Rice. And I just think that if Brett Veach could somehow establish that kind of a deal to get Devontae in there to play with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they could be, you know, the sky is the limit. I mean, it already is with him, but it just would be unreal. And then, of course, with the Jets, you know, he and Devontae are just so close, like he being Aaron Rodgers. Like, we know that. But, you know, his success as a young player in the NFL was Aaron Rodgers demanding from him. And I just think, you know, I'll see the Jets this week. I'll be in production meetings with them, and coming off a big loss, they rattle and shake some things up there in New York a player of this magnitude. We'll see.
It's amazing because Rodgers talked this week about his cadence, and he made a point of saying that he got the cadence from the great player that was there before him, and mm-hmm. that he has worked on it and added to it. You just don't hear him talk much about Favre and their connection. And it was just interesting to hear him acknowledge where that began, how he developed it, and the fact that it can't possibly be any kind of a problem because it's been working for that long.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Mully. And, you know, whatever you think, like, about players historically, you game respects game. you know, we were there with our crew. We watched Jordan Love walk in with a Brett Favre jersey. What a sign. And as obviously we know, you know, of his Parkinson's diagnosis that he has recently shared. And, you know, it doesn't go without saying, by the way, David, I've been thinking about you all week with such care and prayer work. But I just think that, you know, that's a special organization in terms of how they developed quarterbacks. And, yeah, Brett Favre was a master at certain things, and Aaron Rodgers picks up on things, and Jordan Love picks up on things, and that's what makes what's happening in Chicago so exciting. But when you think about the greats, like Aaron Rodgers, like it's impressive to watch. I think he is a draw, and he'll be a draw for us in London this weekend.
Thank you, Stacey. And talking about the Bears, let's look at Sunday against the Panthers and the growth that Caleb Williams has shown throughout the first four games of the season. I think what you saw last Sunday was a quarterback getting more comfortable playing within himself and not trying to force the issue, which I think is not necessarily great for his stat sheet, but is good for the football team. What did you see in watching the way Caleb handled himself against the Rams?
What I wanted to see is take the checkdowns. Make the checkdowns. The deep game isn't there yet. You know, I was very recently talking with a coach that was on the staff of the Panthers, speaking of the aforementioned Panthers, last season with Bryce Young as a rookie. And when now we understand, obviously, what has transpired there with Andy Dalton. It is almost impossible to, when you have a rookie quarterback who has to start right away, it's impossible. It's an impossible situation. Like, I was also just covering the Minnesota Vikings, and what a blessing in disguise it has been for them to, you know, you never want an injury, obviously, but for the way things transpired with Minnesota, with J.J. McCarthy getting injured and having the surgery and them saying, let's just let him develop, and Sam Darnold now, this little, you know, monster peeking over him on his back is gone. Monster, and you know, just the idea of like him, you know, potentially like, well, I was at training camp in Minnesota. If he has two bad games, how quickly are they going to play JJ McCarthy? Like, there was this little creeping thing, and it's just, they have such a fresh, like, light in their locker room and on their team within their offense. They are so in, like, everything about what they're doing is they get to have their, what they see as their future franchise quarterback, ultimately in McCarthy, sit like Patrick Mahomes sat and watch this thing now develop with Sam Darnold, who's a really smart player, and he's finally being coached the way he needs to be. My point being, like, you can't have these grandiose expectations of a perfect pass, deep pass game, and you know all of the struggles that rookie quarterbacks go through. Like I said to this, I said to one of the Vikings coaches, like how you know that, well, that that was there in Carolina. Like how hard was that? And you know the idea that you have to have a run game. The first thing that came out of his mouth was like C.J. Stroud had a run game his rookie season. So what did we just see with the Bears? They had a season high in rush yards. 131 on the ground is their best this year, and it took a lot of pressure off the rookie quarterback. You, as I was told, it's very simple. You have to have a ground game as a rookie quarterback because the game is just so fast. And if you don't have it, now you're really behind the eight ball. And that's, you're playing from behind, you're playing behind the sticks, like all those terminologies and jargon and this and that, like that's a problem. And so we saw it change a little bit this past weekend with Chicago.
It's fascinating to look at the fact that the Bears have managed a field goal in the first quarters of the games they've played. They obviously, mm-hmm. they have only scored 3 points. They managed a field goal. You look at Minnesota, for instance, they lead the NFL. I think they've had 4 plays where they haven't been leading in the game. They're like, they're holding, they have a lead 85% of the game, which is just the most bizarre statistic ever. The Bears are third from worst in terms of time of possession with the lead.
Well, it's, it's the numbers that you just threw out there, Molly. I mean, it's nuts, right? Like, but in the locker room after the game, I was talking to Minnesota's left tackle, Christian Darrisaw. Pretty good left tackle. Yeah. They have a really good offense. Oh, yeah. Really good, right? They have a really good offensive line. By the way, he's towering. He's so big. And I said, just what is Sam Darnold like in the huddle at the line of scrimmage? Because what I saw, they were up 28-0. We were all in the press box in Green Bay. Like, what? To your point, Molly, they came out and they come out and score. And he just looked at me and he said, elite. He is elite. And as I talked to coaches on the sideline about Sam Darnold, what he has that, you know, like for instance, J.J. McCarthy doesn't, he is so pinpoint narrowly focused on what he needs to do to get the job done because of the experience he's had. He knows what he hated. He knows what he loves. He expresses that to his head coach and play caller and Kevin O'Connell, who you guys know is an outstanding coach and play caller. And it's a very deliberate offense, I would say. He's got really good players, by the way. I mean, Jordan Addison's really good. This is nothing that can't be achieved with time. And I think Caleb Williams, like, I kind of giggle about all the, you know, Jaden Daniels conversation and Caleb Williams, who should they have taken? Like, I know a lot of people in the league that were in love with Jaden, and I know a lot of people in the league that were in love with Caleb. And it's okay. Two things can be true. Both guys can be really good. But you have to look at, like, I don't know if you guys agree, but do we agree that the Bears love DeAndre Swift? Like, they're obsessed with him. I mean, he led them in targets. He led them in rushing attempts. It's very clear to me that this regime wanted him, and they want him to succeed. We'll see how things play out. He's a really good player. He's a little bit more, I would say, of a finesse back, but he might argue that. I think he's a really good football player, but they obviously made him a focal point of their offense this past week. We'll see how that kind of develops. I think Cole Kmet is a really good tight end. I have appreciated seeing him get more targets. Like, I think you have to put these guys in positions to succeed, because that's, to me, the Bears, like, kind of have who they like. I mean, Roma Dunze is going to be really good with Caleb Williams. And it's just going to be a matter of time, in my mind, to where can this run game be consistent and can they sustain yards on the ground in order to be effective? And they have an opportunity this week because the Panthers defensively, they haven't been fantastic.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. Stacey, you know Shane Waldron, and last week was a tough one for him because he was called out publicly, essentially, and then they responded with a pretty good, smart game plan, stubbornly sticking to the running game and using a center in the backfield. Good week for Shane Waldron overall, but do you think, and when you look at it and you take a step back, was it good or bad overall for his reputation?
I don't think it was bad. I think that I don't know if it was good. I don't think it was bad. I don't know if that answers the question.
Do you have more confidence in him after last week or less?
Yeah, because he adjusted. I mean, he adjusted. I mean, when I was standing there talking with, because I was with two NFC North teams, and we saw what Detroit did, right? And we saw Jared Goff, and we saw, there's some holes still with Detroit's defense, I think. But I'm with the Vikings and Packers, and we're talking about the Bears. I'm standing with coaches talking about the Bears. And there's a couple things I know to be true that they believe in the division, that the Bears' defense is incredible. That is a known fact. And with Shane Waldron, they're going through some lumps, and it's a rookie quarterback. And that's, they're going to, like, conversations I had, they're going to figure it out. Nobody's, it's too early in the season to think it's bad for his reputation. I think he adjusted. I think that that the shocking thing that, like, when you watch people's faces, the fact that he threw it 52 times and went into last week, fellas, leading the NFL. Think about this. Leading the NFL in pass attempts. I talked to a coach on the Viking staff, and we both almost said it in unison. And it was like his eyes popped out of his head. like he couldn't believe that that was what was happening. That so I say that just because, like, those are conversations that I've had, but he adjusted, Shane did this week, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that, you know, they were able to find a run game and allow Caleb to just hit those checkdowns, because eventually the three-pointer is going to be open and he's going to hit it.
Yeah, we have a breaking thing here from Adam Schefter. He just says that the two teams that are high on Davante Adams' wish list are the two quarterbacks he's played with before, Aaron Rodgers and the Saints with Derek Carr. Isn't that predictable as much as anything
else? No surprise there.
No, that's hilarious.
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. You know, Derek is a wide receiver-friendly quarterback.
Yep.
You talk to any receiver who plays with him, he wants to feed the beast. And the other guy, you guys know.
And you're going to see soon. Have a safe trip, Stacey.
Have a great time in London.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be with you. And again, David, my heart is so big for you.
Thanks, so. Stacey. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Bless you, Stacey. Yeah. Great stuff. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you heard of that, I guess my first question is, how soon did you hear from Coach?
Yeah, I haven't heard from him. I haven't talked to him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow. There's bad blood in Lost Wages, Nevada, my friend.
Davante Adams yesterday. With Kay Adams.
No relation.
Yep, no relation.
Expressing, and she's not dating Daniel, but the quarterback from.
She can date whoever she wants.
She's a wonderful.
Davante Adams requesting a trade. That's the report. Adam Schefter following up this morning with two teams he would prefer to be traded to, which have quarterbacks he's familiar with. Obviously, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, the Saints and Derek Carr.
Derek Carr is his college quarterback who he then went to Vegas to be with.
Yeah, he did. So this is Davante Adams revealing himself a front runner, a little bit of a diva.
Ooh.
If the first team out of your mouth after you demand a trade and you're a wide receiver isn't the Kansas City Chiefs, I have serious doubts about your desire to win.
Well,
why would you not want to go catch passes from Patrick Mahomes? I don't care how well you know Aaron Rodgers and how much you respect Derek Carr from way back.
I'm guessing.
Fresno State days.
I'm guessing that he already knows that they're looking for Keenan Allen. No. They're looking for Tyreek Hill. Wouldn't that be something if Tyreek Hill went back there? If it turns out that the horrible, wretched Miami Dolphins understand they're not going anywhere, and so they made a trade before they end up firing their coach. They'll do that at the end of the year. And they make a trade and they get rid of Tyreek Hill.
Who's firing whom?
The Dolphins are going to fire.
Really?
Yeah, at the end of the year.
You think so?
I don't think they're going to win many games, David.
They just signed him to a contract extension worth mega millions.
And that's why they got to get out of that.
They're not firing him because Tua got hurt.
They should.
No, they should not.
He's too nice a guy.
Oh, my gosh. That's the most knee-jerk reaction thing I've heard you say in hours.
Yeah. No, he's far too nice a guy, and he doesn't fit as a football coach.
Mike McDaniel?
Too nice a guy.
Wow.
That's what the word is.
This is hot take city, suddenly.
I'm having a laugh about it, okay? But I do want Tyreek Hill to go back to Kansas City just to kind of let everybody – I mean, here's the best player they gave up while also winning. We're going to bring him back, and we're going to win three in a row.
I think that is
– super cool.
It's a cool rumor. I didn't say
it was a rumor. It's just my speculation.
Oh, your speculation. It makes more sense from a football perspective, I think, and from a realistic perspective that Davante Adams would be in the conversation. If you're Brett Veach and you're going to work this morning and you're talking about what you need to do and what you want to do, Davante Adams fits that team better than, I know it sounds crazy, but they have a version of Tyreek Hill right now and Xavier Worthy.
What you're saying right now makes not an ounce of sense. You are, my friend, speaking from an orifice not usually associated with communication.
You're committed to sabotaging the segment
now. You don't think Tyreek Hill is better right now than Devontae Adams?
I do think that. I do think that. No. I do think that. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Stylistically, from a offensive standpoint, if you're Andy Reid and you're Brett Veach and you're looking at what you don't have, you have a speed element in Xavier Worthy. You drafted Tyreek Hill's replacement, essentially, at the end of the first round last year. I'm saying for what you lack in a passing game, a game break, another component that this speed Worthy is a compliment to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is more attainable right now than Tyreek Hill.
That's fair.
So my conversations would revolve around what is realistic for this football team right now.
I don't think it's realistic for the Chiefs to be able to afford Devontae Adams. I do think if I were Devontae Adams, I would want to go to the Chiefs in order to win a Super
Bowl. Yes, yes.
And I would do whatever I had to do to make that happen.
Right.
I would go win.
Me too.
And that's why I think we both agree that it's crazy that he would rather reunite with someone he played with before than go try to get a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs.
Which to me is weak.
Yeah, I don't agree.
It's weak.
But
at this stage of his career, why wouldn't you want to go for the championship?
If I'm If I'm Brett Veach and I'm trying to get the best player who fits with my quarterback, I know what it looks like when he and the cheetah are operating together. And it looks spectacular.
Yeah, that sounds to me like fantasy football talk, though. I don't think it's as realistic as, because that's not the report coming out of NFL circles that Tyreek Hill is demanding a trade from the Dolphins or wants to go to a contender. So that's the only reason I dismissed it.
And it's worth dismissing. I'm just saying that would be super cool.
Yeah.
That's all.
It would be cool.
But you're right. The other guy's available. So I would go try to get him.
And I can't imagine why he wouldn't want to push that, knowing that Rashee Rice just went down. They lack consistency at that position, and they could certainly use somebody like Devontae Adams who makes whatever team he joins feel like they have a better shot at winning a Super Bowl immediately. That includes the Chiefs. That would include the Jets, frankly, and maybe even the Saints, who are a surprise this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints are probably in a better position than the Jets in terms of the more complete football team, an easier way to win a division, which then allows you to make noise when you get in the playoffs.
They're in a more winnable division, there's no doubt about it. And they're off to a surprising start, and they could capitalize on that start by making a deal this bold. And it would be a bold move. This is going to hijack the NFL news cycle for a while.
Sure.
It's going to be the biggest story of the week. You know that all the insiders for the respective teams involved are going to be trying to mine their sources for information to get ahead of this. And I just think that it was somewhat predictable because Antonio Pierce lit a match a couple weeks ago by saying players made business decisions. This is a team that is surprisingly the Raiders haven't imploded, really, despite all the controversy surrounding the first four games.
I do think, though, that it would be very unlikely that you would trade a receiver within the division. You know, so I don't know that I can.
It's the Raiders.
But I don't know that I can pick on Devontae Adams for not mentioning the obvious choice, which is the Chiefs with a receiver who's in.
Maybe. But I want to hear that from the Raiders front office more than I do the player who's demanding a trade. If the player's demanding a trade, I would like to at least believe that he'd want to win a title. The Chiefs are the most likely destination for that.
I'm sure Mark Davis is going to tell you that, but he wants to get a haircut first. Excuse me, a bowl cut first.
Where's the bowl? Where's the bowl and the barber? That guy... Talk about eccentric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Saints could be in a situation to really improve the football team if it ends up going that way. Derek Carr is nobody would be happier, assuming that they still are in good terms about that move, than Derek Carr.
Right.
They're 2-2. Saints are 2-2. They play the Chiefs this weekend. Winner gets Devontae.
Wouldn't that be funny if they did give the winner? There you are.
That would be something.
Yeah.
He shows up at halftime. The loser would probably need him more, but
right.
That would be great. That's the Monday night game. The Chiefs are on.
Who's on tomorrow?
That's a good question.
Isn't there a good game
Bucks
tomorrow?
At the Falcons.
Bucks at the Falcons.
Yeah, 6:30 right here on the
time.
Score.
Right here on the score. Prime and, time. And, Kirk Cousins.
Atlanta favored in that game because the kicker can kick 60-yard field goals when it matters most.
Well, I think it's in Atlanta as well.
58.
So you're at home. You probably think the Falcons are in a position to play well there. It is a Kirk Cousins primetime game, so you wonder about that. The Chiefs on Monday Night Football again. Do they play noon on a how many games do they have noon on a Sunday?
They haven't played yet on noon. They did a 3:15 against Jimmy Harbaugh and the Rams last week, but that wasn't much of a game.
But that was a national game because that had Nance and Romo, who actually. If you notice this a little bit about Romo, we criticize him when he has been out of control. I think that he was
it's getting better.
I think this year he has been the couple of games that I have watched him or listened to him more just, in control.
Is that just in relation to Tom?
Maybe so.
See, I'm just being
maybe
mean.
So. No, I'm not comparing him to
I'm
Brady.
Just being mean.
Not yet.
But wouldn't you think that Tom coming into it would fire him up a little and help him get better?
Certainly would put him on notice
yes.
that you're going to be compared to
yep.
a guy who's a novice at this role. You should be better than you are, or you shouldn't take a step backward. Tony Romo, I think, in his first season was very good. I think eventually over the last couple seasons, you see him a little regression, trying to maybe be a little too animated, or it's hard to get control of his emotions at times. But he has been better. I give him credit for that because somebody may have gotten to him. He's responding to coaching. These are professional athletes, take a lot of pride in their work. So I get that. I'm glad because it was good. He was very good on Sunday.
Yeah, he got better. No question about it. It was interesting to, we didn't talk much about it, but him kind of mentioning that he could have come to Chicago. He didn't really
Tom Brady,
it.
Not Romo, right?
I'm talking about yeah, Tom Brady. Brady.
Yeah.
But he did say that. And I thought to myself, like, why would you do that? Why would you ruin somebody's perfectly good Sunday by mentioning that?
I don't know why he did. He was going through the reasons and the criteria he used
yes.
to pick the Bucks, and he referenced kind of like, oh, by the way, almost went to the Bears. They were stealth. It was reported at the time on the
yes.
Dan Patrick Show
yes.
that he had considered the Bears. Dan Patrick was surprised by that, as he should have been. That was Mitch Trubisky's team.
Oh, yeah. Don't dare touch Mitch's team.
That would have been really surprising had the Bears gone that route. I'm surprised that they were even in it that far. Who was behind that? But that's all seemed like a very long time ago.
It's just something that he mentioned that we hadn't really talked much about. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, David, you'd like it in the kitchen today. I'm making pumpkin pie spice sugar-free cookies.
Oh, that's great.
But I got a little shine for you, David. I need you to stay on this because you're one of the people that is staying on this. Caleb has really had an issue with overthrows on the deep ball, and I'll push back on Stacy's comment a little. I respect everything she does, but she said – take the check down, take the check down. Well, if you watch the All-22 from last week, there is a play where Roma Dunze runs a straight down the field through the seam deep route. The safety bites on a route over the middle, and Rome is open by 5 yards past the safety after he goes past him, who's flat-footed, and Caleb is watching him as his number one receiver. He checks off that and goes to Swift in the flat on a check down. And everybody I've seen that's watched the 22 is like, you got to hit that shot in the NFL when it comes. And you had been talking about don't coach out of him throwing long. If he's not doing that, we're going to be in trouble. Another thing about pushback is I'd like to see him stay in a long or deeper drop. He seems to always step up in the pocket, even when he doesn't need to. But when he does step up in the pocket, he's getting hit because Braxton Jones is being pushed back into him almost on every pass rush. But those are two things I noticed. But stay on it, David. And Mully and David, last week you guys did a great job with the remote. And how great would it have been if Joakim, when he called in, would have said he was calling from Cleveland? You guys have a good one.
That's a good memory. Nice touch there, Jeff.
That'd be very funny.
Yeah.
He makes you like it? You think Cleveland's cool?
You asked that question.
I did ask that question, yeah. That was a long time ago. I've been there a while.
Yeah.
good observation by Jeff. Caleb Williams does not want to lose that aggressiveness to throw the ball down the field or the confidence that he can put the ball where he wants to. I do think that his accuracy has been surprisingly off, more than I expected it to, on those kinds of throws. I don't fault him last week necessarily for missing some of those throws. I think the mission for that game specifically was to get back on track and to stay within yourself.
Is that the mission this week too?
I don't know if it's as big of a priority. I don't think it can be every week because I don't want to coach the special out of him. He can't become just a game manager, and he can't be a guy that is every week going into it thinking that, well, I may not win you this game, but I'm not going to lose it for you either.
I'd like to see them score early.
To get a lead, to protect
it. Because they haven't done that yet.
They haven't done that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what that looks like defensively. Right. I'd like to see what that looks like in terms of their aggressiveness offensively because they're not afraid to make mistakes. At some point in time, maybe it's not until after the bye, but at some point in time, he's going to take that step. It's a gradual one where he's going to be aggressive again and be the reason that they're scoring touchdowns and not necessarily just taking the checkdowns and moving the chains.
It'll happen. It'll come. We just have to be a little more patient than we've been.
And people don't need to be patient if they want to get in on our contest. That'd be the sixth caller right now. Scores contest line 312-540-0670. Been waiting for this to win a $120 gift card for the Jumanji VR experience at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. 312-540-0670. Jumanji VR experience, $120 gift card at the Wonderverse in Oak Brook.
It's, I think we got Marshall Harris and Dan Bernstein joining us next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.